A little while now we've been discussing or talking about living by faith. Did you know for some things it's impossible? God doesn't like to talk in impossibilities, but in one place he says without faith it's real hard to please God. Is that what it says? Impossible. This scripture on the first panel up here we have on the screen, we live by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, some versions have. Walk by faith and not by sight is a pretty well-known comment for anybody that's been around the Bible very much. Walk by faith and not by sight. Paul wrote that to the Corinthian church. And he's talking about the fact that the supernatural world is outside of our realm right now. We can't see it, but he said we walk by faith and not by sight. Next slide, I put this up here. You can't have faith in God. We're going to talk about this today. You cannot have faith in God unless you know His will. You cannot have faith in God unless you know His will. In other words, if He tells you something, then you can have faith in that, right? If He tells you something. If you were talking today and somebody said, I'm just believing that Caleb's going to come and cut my grass this week. And I'll just be watching for him to come and cut my grass this week and not even going to charge anything. And you say, well, when's he going to come? Oh, I don't know. But did he tell you he would? No, he didn't tell me he would come. I didn't ask him, but I just believe he's going to come and cut my grass. Probably you'll be waiting a long time because you didn't ask. And he didn't tell you he would do it. So now he's going to help cut everybody's grass in here. So we're all believing. We believe in Caleb, don't we? If he doesn't tell you, guess what? You can't count on it. If you didn't ask him, he's not going to come and do it, is he? So faith in God cannot happen unless you know what God wants, unless you know what God has promised you. Some people say, well, you just can't know about God. He's so mysterious. What's that old poem? God works in mysterious ways. Well, not if you know His word. If He tells you something, can you have faith in it? If He tells you something and you see it in here, you can say, well, I can count on it. I know I have eternal life. Why? Because He told me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, because I figured it out. No, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the what? The Bible tells me so. You can't have faith in God without knowing His will. So we're going to kind of camp on that for a little bit. Faith comes by hearing. That's the next part of that slide. You know that one, don't you? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's words. So how does faith come? When you hear something from God, you can believe it. But if you don't hear it, you can't believe it. That's why so many Christians these days are weak, anemic in their faith, because they don't get much word time or prayer time. If you spend time in the Word, then you get to know that voice in here, and then sometimes it'll speak in your heart some things in your conscience. So if you don't know the Word, you just don't know God. And if you don't know the Word, you don't know His will, very, very much of His will. And if you don't know His will, you can't have faith. And so we have many Christians whose faith is very weak. One little thing knocks them off track. They'll miss church 3 years because somebody didn't remember their birthday at church. I remember we had a man here when I first moved here. He got up and made announcements, and some lady caught him after the service and said, you forgot my announcement I gave you. Well, he quit making announcements. It just hurt him so bad, he just didn't do it anymore. So faith is in God, and faith in God comes by what God tells you He will do. Faith comes by hearing. Next slide. I put this. God's will for you is amazing. Some people have this idea, God's will, oh, that would be so hard, and He might send me places I don't want to go, and He might tell me to do things I don't want to do, and so God's will is a scary thing because we always go to the place where Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but yours be done, and they got Him crucified. So I don't know if I'm up for that. No, God's will is what you need. God's will is amazing. God's will is life itself. God's will, it's God's will that you have eternal life, isn't it? It's God's will that you're a Christian today, isn't it? It's God's will. What's God's will? God's will, Jesus said this, not on the screen here, but Jesus said to the disciples that they should pray. Remember the model prayer? Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Oh. So it's God's will to bring His will to earth. It's God's will to bring the same will He has in heaven to earth. Well, does heaven have any sickness? Does heaven have any police forces? Does heaven have a bunch of prisons that they need to lock people up? The crime rate in heaven, how high is the crime rate, do you think, in heaven? That's God's will that He would like to see happen on earth. He would like to see that happen on earth. He said, pray for that. Pray for that to happen on earth. It's happening in pockets called the church. It's happening in pockets called the kingdom of God. You could come in a place like this and a church like this, and you know people love you. You go out in the world, different subject, right? So it's happening. It's happening, but it's slowly happening. And Jesus said, you know, all these things will come to a head one day, and He'll come back, and it really will be heaven on earth, and great things will happen. So in this idea that the will of God is amazing, some people get kind of lost in that. So I don't know about that. I don't know if I want God's will. If I ask for God's will, He may send me to He may want me to talk to people about Jesus and send me to the other side of the world. What if you ask God, Lord, I really want Your will. I just really want Your will. I want nothing more than Your will. And God said to you, okay, I want you to go to the Ukraine and preach the gospel to all the refugees that are coming out of that place. And most of us will say, oh, Lord, not that, please, you know. No, don't send me to a place like that, please. People coming out by the millions, right? And they want you to go in. Does God know if you need to be there or not? If God were to send you there, would He give you the protection you need? Yes. I heard a preacher the other day talking about this. He said he went on a mission trip one time, I think it was in Africa. He went to this little country. He said he was just a kid in his Bible college, I think it was. And he said, we went to this place and said, I was excited to be there. I'd prayed about it and I knew this was where I was supposed to go just for this mission trip. And he said, we got down there and this country got taken over by some other people and there was gunfire in the streets and automatic weapon fire. And so the man leading the mission trip for these young people, he said, got us all in a room. He said, I want to say something to you. He said, the gunfire is going off outside. And he said, do you believe God sent you here? And several of them said, yes. I prayed. I got my life in order, ready to do this. I believe God sent me here. He said, if God sent you here, you're in the safest place you can ever be. The safest place. Why would they be safe? God's will. Is God's will good? Ask people in heaven if God's will is good. What would they say? Uh-huh. You need to be here. Well, I plan to be, you know, soon. If you ask people in heaven, is God's will right for you? Yes, they would say. Don't ask me to leave here because this is spectacular. I don't want to ever leave this place. This is God's will, full speed, full bore, wall to wall, God's will. We've been reading Revelation. Read the end of Revelation. Is God's will good? Those people, no tears. God dried their tears. God took care of them. And in the final end of things, when God's cause is victorious over all evil, is that good? Is it good to have all evil disappear? That's God's will. That's why it says this scripture in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight, you see that one? I delight to do Your will, O God. Can we get in that mindset? That's the psalmist said that. I delight to do Your will, O God. Your law is within me. God's ways, God's words are within me. Can we get to that place where we say, God, I delight. Oh, Lord, I need Your will more than I need almost anything else. I delight. I delight it when You take my day and You just shape it like You want to and I follow along. I delight to do your will. Some people are there and some are not there, I guess. The next slide has a Genesis. You may want to look at this. Genesis chapter 12. Several times God spoke to Abram, and then Abraham, he later became Abraham. Look at chapter 12. Genesis 12:1. Jehovah had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land." What land? "I will show you." Boy, when God lets His will be known to you, it's a time for a choice. And the choice is yes or no. I don't think you want to sit in judgment of God's will, do you? And say, "Well, Lord, tell me more, I might do it." Did Abram say that? "Well, give me a little more information. Where am I going? I'll show you. Ooh, how do I get there from here? I'll show you. But I want you to leave everything you now know, your country, your people." Now, he's going to take, obviously, his people with him, his family, but he's not going to take his father's, he's going to leave his father's household. And as he leaves, God says, "I will show you." Well, I got tickled at one guy. He said, God told Abram to leave and go to land I will show you. And he didn't get a brochure and he didn't get a map. God just said, "That direction." What did Abram do? He saluted, "Yes, sir." Why is Abraham all over the Bible as a man of faith? Because he bought into God's will right away. "I will make you," look at the promise, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You'll be a blessing." Has Abraham been a blessing to the world? Christ came because Abraham obeyed that will of God. Because Abraham was the seed line through Isaac, God said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." He didn't even have any children. He was 75 years old, didn't have any kids. And Sarah was was old, never had been able to have children. And God said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Later he told him it's going to come through Isaac. So Abram left. Look at verse 4. Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when they set out from Haran. Sometimes we think we're too old for this. "I don't know. I don't think I got the energy for this, Lord. What if I lose all my investments? What will I live on then?" Am I telling you to go do something stupid? No. I'm telling you to follow the will of God. And if you find, was the will of God better for Abraham? Was it better? Oh, yes, it was. There are several places, I don't have time to go into them now, but several places through the book of Genesis where God kept talking to Abraham. And it turned out for his betterment. It turned out that he did have a child. And it turned out that that child became the seed line for the Messiah. And Abraham was so rich, he and Lot, his nephew, they got so big that the land could not contain all their animals and crops, and so they decided we better split up. Abram was a very wealthy man. Abram had his own army at some point, 318 trained men, I think it was, in his own household. He fought a battle and defeated other kings. I'm sure by then Abraham's considered a king among the people he lived with. He had an army of his own. He had this huge camp. He had livestock all over the place. I mean, it's like this guy, I heard a guy went to Israel to see Israel. He was a rancher out in Texas. He had such a big ranch. It took him days just about to drive across it. And he got to Israel and he's watching a little farmer out there farm his little plot of ground about the size of this auditorium. And the guy walked up and he said, "I see you got your little farm here." And the man said, "Yes." He said, "Well, where I live, I got a place too. I got a farm, I got some animals." He said, "It It takes me about a day to drive across to check on my animals. And the old guy said, I too had a truck like this one time. No, it wasn't a truck. It was a distance, right? Abraham was that kind of a man. He had all of this because God said, go. And what did he do? He went. So, as you get to that, next slide, turn to Romans 12. This is a major scripture on this idea. And we're going to look at it because we're going to do this week, aren't we? We're going to do this. Therefore, Romans 12, verse 1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, pardon me, in view of God's mercy, in view of what? Has God been good to us? Okay, if he's been good to you, and you say, I want more of this. God's been so good to me, I need some more. In view of God's mercy, I urge you, or I beg you, some versions have, to offer your what? Bodies. Now, if you offer your body, everything else comes with it. But he says, start there. Offer your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. So, what you're saying is, like Abraham, God, if you lead me, I will do. I give you myself, even this body. Start with this body. I just give you my... if you give him your body, what are you saying? My thoughts, my life, my going and coming and in and out and all the things I do. I present this to you, Father, as a sacrifice. It's yours. A living sacrifice. It's yours. You do with me your will. Whatever you wish, whatever your will is. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. What does holy mean? I'm yours. I don't serve the world. We live in the world, but not of the world. It's yours. Holy means separated unto God. Separated unto God. The Word of God's holy. Mine says Holy Bible right there. Set aside for... Is your life dedicated, set aside, separate unto God's work? Now, a lot of people say, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I see some people, they're so dedicated, and they gave up everything to follow Jesus, and I just don't think I can do that. I just don't think I could do that. You're right. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit's help. We look at our own strength or lack of it and our own deficiencies and we say, I could never do that. I could never be an Albert Schweitzer that went off to Africa and served the rest of his years as a doctor serving those poor tribes. I could never do anything. No, you're right. You couldn't. Because your ego and your self-pride wouldn't let you do that unless you say, I'm yours. You know what? If you do that, and I think you're planning on doing that, right? If you do that, check back in about a year with us, and you'll be saying, if you really do that, you'll be saying in about a year, you'll be saying, this is the happiest, most glorious life, because I live all my worries with God. He's in control. He's working in me. I don't have to worry about a thing. He said I could cast all my cares on him because he's taking care of all of this. And he's organizing my life the way he wants it organized and doing with my life what he wants to do. And I'm happy. I'm blissfully happy. Well, don't you still have some problems? Oh, yeah. I still have some problems. But guess what? I would have problems either way. But this way, I've got help. He takes care of my problems. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. A lot of translations vary on that. But it basically means this is how you worship God. Now, we do worship God in song. We worship God in prayer. Worship God together. But the real worship he's talking about here is surrender. complete surrender to God. What is worship? What is worship? One of the root words of worship is to kiss toward, like a little kid blows a kiss toward his mama. When you worship God, you're saying, I love you. Oh, I'm fascinated with you. I just love you. And we may not say it that way, but that's what worship is. What better way to worship God than to say, I trust you so much that I'll just do whatever you want me to do. You take control of my life, manage my affairs, my life, do whatever you need me to do. Give me direction and I'll go there. Isn't that worship? Doesn't that say to God, I really love you. I trust you. I am completely yours. Completely yours. Heard a man preach one time, and he said, he was preaching at a big popular church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, I got back from a trip, and his church was growing, fast growing, and he was a great preacher and all of that. And he got back from a trip, and he said, one of the members came up to him and asked me, well, I hope you didn't get a better offer while you were gone, because we need you here. He said, no, I don't take better offers. If I go out on a trip and I come back, my wife doesn't ask me, did you get a better offer? He said, I don't consider better offers. See, when you sell out to God, what you're saying is, okay, I'm settled on who I'm serving. I'm settled on what I'm doing. I'm completely confident, and I'm completely at peace with this, and He gets all my attention, and He gets my dedication. That's worship. If you really love your wife, you don't take better offers, do you? If you really love your husband, you don't consider better offers. With God, we don't consider better offers, do we? Do not conform, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. Do you want to know God's will? Surrender yourself to God. He'll show you. And it'll be better than anything you have now, unless you're already doing God's will. Good, pleasing, perfect will of God. Do not conform to this world. Next slide has this. Ephesians 5:17, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful how you live. Can you mess up life? I know people that have messed up their life in one afternoon. They're still trying to get it back. You need to be careful how you live. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but don't be foolish, but be wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. All through Proverbs and even Ecclesiastes, Solomon talked about foolish behavior versus wise behavior. And that's kind of echoed here in what Paul wrote. Foolish behavior versus wise. All right, do not conform. Next slide, I believe it's the next slide. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What's the opposite of being foolish? The will of God. The will of God. You're not going to make big mistakes when you're in the will of God. He's going to direct you around those mistakes. The next slide has this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Is that a good idea? Well, it's more than a good idea. What did he say? What did he say? This is God's will. What's God's will? I'm always rejoicing. Always rejoice. Even when you got problems, yeah. You know what? When you have a problem, it's even more fun to rejoice and watch people's reactions. It's like, what's the matter with you? Don't you know you got this problem? Oh, yeah. I'm just happy as I can be, though, because I know where my happiness is. It's not in this world. Rejoice when? Always. Pray how much? That's the verse, pray without ceasing, a lot of versions have. Keep up your prayer life. Keep up your joy life. Is joy a choice? A lot of people don't think so. I spent some years as a young, real young man going through depression. And I realized later, that was my choice. It was the way I was thinking about things and thinking about the world. And of course, when I got born again, it changed. Everything got a little better. And then I started learning more about it and learning that you can You can make yourself depressed in about 20 minutes if you work at it. Because you're thinking about the wrong things. You're thinking about something down. You're thinking about something that the dark, gloomy thoughts. And all of a sudden, a lot of people don't realize what you think about all day long, that's what you become. You become that. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. You look at that and you say, boy, that's hard to do. No, it's the will of God. And guess what? If you do this, the will of God, will He come to help you? Will the Holy Spirit help you do this? Yes. You just start off and say, Lord, I got some things I got to do today that some of them may not be that pleasant, but you know what, Lord? I'm just going to rejoice in You, and I'm going to pray about this. And then that He said, pray about it, pray without ceasing, pray about it. And I'm going to give thanks whatever happens. It's your choice. If you were not able to do this, He wouldn't put it in this book. It's your choice. Your happiness level is your choice. But you don't understand the problems I have. No, but He does. And He still tells you this. It's the will of God that you rejoice. Next slide. If anyone's willing to do His will, he will know of the teaching. This is real important. John chapter 7. This is a linchpin to the whole thing, really. If you really want to know God's will, but you say, I just can't figure out God's will. I don't know what His will is. John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, about verse 17. Verse 14. John 7:14, and part of it's on the slide here. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? He didn't have any theology degrees. He didn't go to any seminaries. He didn't study under Gamaliel, the great rabbi like Paul did. And they heard Jesus and they thought, where did he get this? I mean, it was so astonishing. His teaching was so astonishing that they said, how does he do that? How does he do that? How did this man get such learning? Verse 16, Jesus said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. God will give you words of wisdom that you didn't even learn. You didn't even learn. Back in, I think it's in Proverbs or Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 119, where the writer of the Psalm says, I am wiser than all my teachers because of you, because of God working in his life. My teaching is not my own, Jesus said. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, anyone what? It's your choice. You make a choice. I am doing God's will. I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what my family thinks. I am going to do God's will. I choose to do God's will. What happens if you choose to do God's will? If anyone chooses, verse 17, to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Oh, so if I choose to do God's will, I all of a sudden get a lot smarter. I all of a sudden understand God's will. I start understanding the teaching, Jesus said. The teaching will become clear to you if you choose to do God's will. So it's a matter of choosing God over everything else. And as you do that, you begin to hear things. You begin to hear God's will. You begin to know God's will. You begin to say, oh, I see. Because when I talk about this, a lot of people are thinking, well, I don't know what that means, do God's will. I got a lot of stuff in my life. I don't know what that... If you choose to do God's will, He will lead you. Did Abram know where he was going? No, he didn't know where he was going. Did he get there? He got there. How did he get there? One step at a time. one step at a time, making course corrections. Is it important to choose to do God's will? God will not give you, I'm pretty sure it's true that God will not give you any directions like he gave Abram if you're not willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, why would he give you his insights? If you're not willing to do his will, why would you ever know his will? Because you're not willing to do it. Parable of the sower. We don't have time for that one. Parable of the sower. Didn't Jesus say that? Four kinds of hearers, four kinds of listeners. And some got it and some didn't. And Jesus kept saying, he who has ears to hear, what? Let him use those ears. If you don't care to do God's will, if you don't want to do God's will and you don't care to do God's will, you're going to stay in the dark. You're just going to stay in the dark about a lot of things. He won't share a lot with you. People say, well, I never hear from God. I don't ever hear from God. God never talks to me. I don't ever hear from God. Wonder why. If you decide, I will follow him, I will do his will, things will start opening up and you'll start seeing things and hearing things and you'll say, oh, I see how this connects to this. And that connects to that. When I, before I ever went to preaching school, I had worked at a bank as a computer programmer for about a year, and that didn't interest me, and I left and came over this way, moved to Monroe. My family moved over here, West Monroe, and went through some things, and Judy and I got married, and then I was happy with that, and we both had, well, at the time, both had jobs, and I had a job at a warehouse where I was by myself a lot. It was an oil company that had cases of motor oil, and my job was to inventory and help unload trucks and stuff like that. So I was in that warehouse walking around counting stuff a lot, and I got to spend a lot of time by myself. But I was unhappy with my job, unhappy with the way life was going as far as career, and I wasn't really a believer. I wasn't really a solid Christian. I didn't go to church much, and I was thinking, there ought to be something better than this. Is this my future? Walking around counting cans of oil, you know, is that what I'm supposed to be doing? And I would pray, I guess I would call it prayer. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know how to talk to God through Christ. I just was God in general. God, it's just like, What am I supposed to be doing? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing besides this? Help me with this. What am I supposed to be doing? And I don't think my prayer went much more complicated than that. But that job played out and I lost that job. And then we were thinking about what am I going to do next. And then family invited us over to a barbecue, I believe, one afternoon. And we went over and I'm talking to my uncle who was an elder at White's Ferry Road Church, and he said, you know, preaching school is starting up. And I thought, why would I want to be a preacher? I never even thought about it, really. It's like, I was way off my radar screen. And so he said, why don't you starts Monday morning. That was a Friday, I think it was, or a Saturday. He said, starts Monday morning. I can work you in, and we can start you with the classes. You won't miss a class. You start a new session. And so I thought about it. I said, well, I'll think about it. And it really didn't appeal to me that much. But I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what other kind of job I'm going to have. I don't know what my life's going to be. So I guess I will. But my thought was, I'll go to school because I thought the idea of studying, I'd already studied some Eastern religions, and the idea of studying the Bible appealed to me like, well, I know it's a well-known book. Maybe I should learn more about it. I thought, well, at least I'll learn the Bible a while, and then when a good job opens up, I'll go take that job. And that was back in 1973, and I've been preaching ever since. How does God lead your life? When I got to that point, I'm not saying it was a very spiritual prayer. I'm just saying I got to the point of saying, God, help me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. I sure don't like this, what I was doing then. Does God have a way? I was kind of like Abraham. I didn't know what that was going to lead to. I didn't know. I didn't know where we were going from there. But sometimes when you're there, when you sell out, when you say to God, I choose your will, little things start happening. And the guy told me one time, asked me this funny question. He said, how do you eat an elephant? I said, what? How do you eat an elephant? I don't know. He said, one bite at a time. Even an elephant you can eat one bite at a time. Can you do God's will one bite at a time? The next slide. Then Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Isn't that a pleasant scripture? You got to do what? Deny yourself. In other words, don't let yourself be captain of your soul, captain of your destiny. And do what else? Take up their cross and follow Jesus. Now, you're not going to have to take up a cross and get crucified because he already did that, right? And you're not going to have to take up a cross and die for the sins of the world because he already did that. So what kind of cross is he talking about? Some people say, oh, this arthritis, that's my cross to bear. Or I got a wayward child, that's my cross to bear. That's not your cross to bear. You know what your cross is? Your cross is what he bore when he went in the garden and he said to the Father, Father, if it be possible, take this suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's your cross, where you say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes that's harder to do than deal with arthritis. You just surrender your will. He said, you need to do, Jesus said, you need to be doing that. You pick up your cross. I took mine on your behalf, but you take up your cross and you say, not my will. Some of you don't believe this, but not my will, yours be done is the happiest way you can possibly live. Amen. It's happy. You will be happier, I promise. I've lived it. A lot of you in this room have lived it. You will be happier if you say, not my will, but yours be done. Last slide, we're going to pray over our notebook here. This notebook, that last slide has seek first the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? The same thing we're talking about. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about things. That came from Jesus' comment about don't worry about things. Seek the kingdom. Do God's will. Surrender to his will. And seek the kingdom first. All these good things will happen to you. But you can't make them happen. You can't force them to happen. You just do his will. And it all comes to pass. The notebook we have here, most of you know this, it's full of names. We got one answer I just found out a while ago, not actually in the book, but one of the people in the book, one of their relatives got an answer. They're back in church or in church and seeking God, reading the Bible. The 30 pages of names, and these names are either people who don't know the Lord or a few in here used to and they fell away. So we're praying every time we meet, unless I forget. I don't forget very often, do I? But every time we meet, we pray over this. So when I pray, what are you doing? You're praying too, right? And you may actually know of someone, either in the book or not. If somebody's on your heart, your mind, that you know needs the Lord, you be praying for them too. Father, we do pray for this list of people here that are not believers. Some of them have become since we started praying, Father. We've seen you answer these prayers. We've seen some come into the kingdom of God. We ask you to continue to do that, Father. We want your will, and you said in your word that your will is that no one should perish, but everybody come to a knowledge of the truth. That is your will. And you said if we pray your will, we know we have the answers. The Apostle John, if we pray your will, we know we have the answers. So we know we're getting answers right now. As I pray over this notebook and people are praying in this audience, as we're praying, we know right now forces are being unleashed to go and share the gospel with these folks. If we're the ones close enough, send them to us. You've already sent some to us. We ask you, Father, to transform the lives of the people in this book, that they will do your will. That they will do your will and follow your will, which is the best thing they could ever do. We are grateful to you, Father, right now for the way you've answered our prayers. We dedicate ourselves like Joshua did. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We make that dedication right now. As for us as a church family, as for us as individual believers, we will serve you, Father. We dedicate ourselves to your will. You deserve it. You, Lord, have earned this for us. So we dedicate ourselves to and surrender ourselves to you today, Father, that we want your will more than we want ours. We're thankful for that you've answered our prayers in Him, in His Word, in His will, we pray. Amen.